So, Coach, tell me, how did you get into this profession?
Well, I was a college athlete and I got hurt. I was attending Mount SAC at the time and I was a baseball player and I tore my rotator cuff against the national team of Australia. And I ended up going out for golf there. And actually, I didn't go out for golf. I enrolled in a advanced golf class, not knowing it was really for golfers on the team. And I shot a really good score. So the coach asked me if I wanted to be on the golf team. I said, sure. So I played golf there to finish off my collegiate sports experience. And I knew San Dimas High School, which was the rival school, the school I went to for high school. I went to Bonita High School in Laverne, was looking for a golf coach. So I had walked on the campus and I was hired as the JV coach. And the longtime legend, Gary Prestisater there, asked if I coached basketball in his gruff voice. And I said, no, I played it in high school. I played 3 years of varsity. I played against you. So, well, you want to coach? And I said, sure. So I was the freshman basketball coach in 1996 at San Dimas High School. So that's kind of how I got the start. It was kind of an accident to become the basketball coach.
Wow, that's pretty funny. I didn't know that you golf. Do you still golf?
Not as much as I used to. I need to get back doing it. I really enjoyed it. I mean, I was fairly good at it. I was about a 3 or 4 handicap at the time.
Okay. All right. So when you got your first job at 25, and that was at Baldwin Park High School,
Yeah, that was.
what was your approach to that first year as a young head coach?
Oh, geez. Being young, you think you know it all. I had coached 4 years, 5 years as a lower level coach. And as soon as you move to the head coach, now you're in charge of three programs. So I was just trying to get what I wanted to do for my philosophy there ingrained in all three levels. The program was on a rise. I replaced Gordon Hamlow, who's a good friend of mine, who is now the Glendora High School coach. And I just wanted to kind of build upon what he had done and keep going up on an upward trajectory. And my philosophy was, I mean, I tried to do what I did at what I knew at San Dimas for the first 5 or 6 years, flex offense and pack line defense. And it didn't really work. I didn't have the talent level that I had at San Dimas, but it was just trying to build up and build a winning culture there. And because they had never been really known for basketball, it was a football school.
Okay. So what were, or I guess I should say, how has your coaching strategy changed from being 25 at the helm of a varsity program to now?
Probably a little bit more patience, not as immature and mistakes that you make as a young coach. Was grateful for Baldwin Park for letting me be so young and be a coach and learn on the job, if you will. Organizational, I've gotten better. I've pretty much stuck to a philosophy, if you will, if I like to play up tempo, but I will make tweaks based upon my personnel to win. So, I like playing a lot of kids, but the last 3 years I didn't because I didn't have the players to play. So we went more to like a 7-man, 8-man rotation, kind of like the Miami Heat are doing, if you will.
What's the culture like at Patriot High School?
It's a public school. I have my share of serious athletes and some kids that just kind of play it as something to do, and still, this is year six, still trying to build it up to my goals are to build it to one of the better public schools in the area. We've finished in second place the last 3 seasons. We've played again. We have Hillcrest in our league, who's won a CIF championship and made it to the semifinals and then lost in the finals. So we're the second best team. But we got ways to go to catch them. They've built it up really well. And just trying to find the realm of getting kids that want to be a little bit more competitive. I have my handful of kids that are competitive, just trying to get it more competitive all the way down from top to bottom.
Yeah, I hear you. Okay. So from a coaching standpoint, how do you instill that competitive drive in your players?
My work ethic and being prepared and showing them how much I enjoy the basketball and competing in practice and in games with them, but also getting to know them on and off the court, building relationships with them. And I think COVID has helped because you're not focusing so much on the winning and losing. You're focusing on what's kind of going on in the world with all the different things of social injustice and COVID and all the things that we've been dealing with. So just been doing a lot of meetings and just trying to get to know them even better. I'm not an on-campus coach, so I'm behind the eight ball there. I don't have a class with them where I can meet with them every day or have them come in my room. So I'm doing this. I've done it 20-something years as an off-campus coach. So I've had to use different ways, social media, text messages, phone calls, different ways that some people don't have to deal with because they're teachers on campus.
Right. Yeah, I was just talking with actually Coach Aaron Carey from Long Beach Wilson yesterday, and we were having that same conversation that, you know, it's pretty impressive to be able to have a successful program as the walk-on coach because you don't get that face-to-face interaction with your kids. Well, right now you don't get it at all, but we're talking pre-COVID-19 here. You don't get that face-to-face interaction other than just practice. Whereas these coaches that are on campus, they're free to have their players coming in and out of their office, their classroom, and, you know, just have a conversation.
Yeah, I mean, exactly right. I mean, what's our season normally, November to February? And then some people ask, why do I do so much off-season work? And why do I go down there in the evenings and stuff? I'm like, so I can check in with my players and have a relationship with them, but also get the work in. Because if I don't do that, then I'm just really running a seasonal program. I'm not running a year-round program, and because I don't have that PE class. So I come down 2 to 3 nights a week and do skill work in the fall and spring to use the basketball aspect of it to have them come down. But then we'll do other activities and stuff like that. But it's tough to do it. I mean, looking back, wish I probably maybe would have done the teaching side of it to help, but I enjoy coaching so much and finding ways to be creative, I guess, is a challenging part.
Challenging but fun, right?
Yeah, I mean, as you can relate to this, is majority of people will go with a teacher on campus as the coach, mm-hmm. because of parameters, but not necessarily are they always the most qualified. Some people that are off campus are better qualified to coach the game, mm-hmm. but most schools prefer a teacher on campus, and I can see, I can understand both sides of it, so... Mm-hmm.
Yay! Talk to me about System Basketball and your podcast, the Basketpedia podcast. How did you get that started? Why did you get it started? And what should anyone who is listening know about both of those platforms?
System Basketball is a type of style of basketball, but the Zoom clinic side of it got started by, there's been a group on a Yahoo forum group that have been together for years. And literally we were meeting, typing on a keyboard, like chatting, like not instant messenger or anything like that, but like old school chat room. And we were talking and I said, well, can we take this to like Zoom? And the System Basketball stuff was the system coaches getting together and talking. And then it became, somebody wanted to share something, and then it turned into clinics. So like each one of the famous system coaches started doing, I talked to them about sharing and presenting, and then people started going, well, can you get this coach or can you get that coach? And it just kind of filtered off that. The podcast part of it came as kind of interviewing them as well and getting the word out about system basketball and talking to me, interviewing coaches, asking questions to coaches, and spreading the word about system basketball. And I didn't really want to just do the system. I wanted to talk to other coaches. So I started interviewing other people. And at first, the podcast name was System Basketball Podcast, and I switched it to Basketpedia because my friend, Chris Holmes, used to refer to me as Basketpedia because he would contact me and say, hey, do you have this offense, or do you have notes on this, or do you have notes on that? And I usually would have it, or if I didn't have it, I would be able to get it for him. So he said, you're like the basketball encyclopedia. So he started calling me Basketpedia. So that's why I changed the podcast name to that, because I didn't want to just do system. Mm-hmm. So to answer your question about why should people listen to it, it's just different forms of basketball, talking to coaches about their philosophy, styles. We talk about different things in the basketball world. We talk NBA, we talk offense, we talk defense. I've had people on about pack line, the system. I've had people on for dribble drive, various topics. So it's just kind of a basketball coaches podcast, just to, for coaches to listen to about different styles of play and to learn about different things. I mean, interviewed, what's great about it is I've met people that I would never thought of have met. I met the assistant coach of the Guam national team, Brent Tipton, and he's phenomenal. And it's just opened up doors of different people that I wouldn't have never thought of interviewing. I've interviewed a few people like yourself, local people, but I try to find people that I wouldn't be able to just pick up a phone and have a conversation with, that you got to kind of do it over the phone and do it long distance. And that's kind of where it's gone with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's pretty cool. It's funny. I remember when I talked to you for the Basketpedia podcast, we were joking about how, you know, you had reached out about doing an episode, and then within, I want to say 24 hours, I was like, all right, I got a podcast that I'm starting now. Whoever's interested, tweet me.
Yeah. And you're like on 20 episodes or something already.
I know. I need to slow down. I can't do the weekly thing, you know. It's just, if I have them saved and I have them recorded, it's like, why not? So I just post them. All right. So when we do these podcasts, we learn a lot about the people that we're speaking to, and a lot of the things that we learn, we can apply to ourselves or our teams. Can you tell me something that you've learned that has really stuck with you?
I'm going to take it from the system coaches that less is more. It's, everybody thinks the system is very complicated and they don't get it, but it's pretty simple. You press, you run, you press, you trap, you sub, you repeat. And it's pretty radical version of it, of what, why people don't like it, different philosophies of reasons why people don't like it. But we've had all these Zoom clinics on it. I've had like 23 or 24 different system coaches do a clinic for me on it. And people want to know absolutes and exacts, just like anybody on a court. But philosophy is basically try to just keep it simple. Find whatever you can to get, you do whatever you can to get your shots up fast and then get them to shoot the ball fast. And it's as simple as that. So from Coach Arsenal, the originator of the Grinnell system, less is more is what I keep getting from him. Literally, if he had a practice plan, it was on a size of a 3x5 card. And he would pick one thing in practice to emphasize on. So his belief was that you do five things in practice, or you do five things in a game. You either get the ball back off of a made basket, a missed shot, a turnover, or a referee blowing their whistle. That's how you get the ball back. So those are the things that he would emphasize, one of those things in practice every day that they were going to work on. So that applies to traditional basketball, if you will. That's the way you get the ball back. So less is more is what I've taken.
Okay. I'm curious to know, before you started running the system, what type of basketball or style of play were you running with your teams?
Well, early on in my career, I ran flex because that's what I knew as a high school player. And then,
And then
I switched to dribble drive motion, and I've pretty much been a dribble drive motion and pressing coach. So I've been up tempo, but not to the extreme. The last 3 years at Baldwin Park, I switched more to a five out-ish dribble drive version and or the Dana Altman spread offense from Oregon that he runs. Mm-hmm. And a 1-1-3 matchup is what I've kind of been playing the last few years. The reason why I want to switch to the system is I'm very small, but we can shoot. I have three players that are 5'8". That would be in my top eight. And if we're playing a zone or we're playing anything, it's hard to play three kids for boys varsity at 5'8" mm-hmm. when I'm playing against 6'10" in my league. So I'm forcing kids to be rebounders that are not capable. Running the system allows me to play these kids, not necessarily all together, but in shifts, because that's what you do is you sub in, five out, and you put them in shifts. So I'm looking at it, the strength of my basketball program, shooting, quickness, but we're small. So how do I employ this and still potentially have a chance to win basketball games? And I think that's the way to do it, is to make the game up tempo and play fast and make the size of our opponents a non-factor.
Mm-hmm. So then if you had been blessed with, because I know you're at a public school, some 6'5" guys, mm-hmm. would you still be running the system?
No, I just had a 6'5" kid that could do it all. And he played 32 minutes. He could play point guard through center for me, whatever he needed to do. And we played half court, or we tried to still play transition basketball, but we sat in a 1-1-3 matchup. I had 6'5" and 6'3" for a couple of those years. So we kept them near the basket to get our rebounds mm-hmm. for us. And then we took advantage of what their skills were on the offensive end. I'm adaptable to what I would like to do, but I purely like to play up tempo if I can and heavily emphasize the 3-point shot.
Okay. That makes sense. All right, so you've asked me this before, and so I would like to ask you, mm-hmm. for basketball, who is on your Mount Rushmore?
Players?
For coaches.
Coaches.
So men or women, college or professional.
Okay. Bob Hurley, high school coach, New Jersey, St. Anthony's. High school coaches. Okay. Mike Krzyzewski, Coach K. And I'm going to go with people that I know from me being alive. So, or witness coach. So those two. And then I have, for me, it's just a heavily influence for Mount Rushmore and of the way I like to play, Vance Wahlberg.
Okay. Yeah. Mr. Dribble Drive.
Yep. And the last one, who am I going to pick? It's either Phil Jackson or Popovich.
Oh, those are both great. You can't go wrong, really. Phil Jackson was on mine, but yeah, Popovich, he's also.
I picked a high school. Vance is a high school guy again, but Vance is coached from high school to the NBA. Mm-hmm. And I just think he's, over the last 20 years, one of the biggest innovators that the game has seen, because who doesn't know what dribble drive concepts are, the penetration rules? No. Everybody.
Yeah, that's
least,
true.
I don't know if everybody does, but they at least know what it is.
I don't run the dribble drive and I know what it is.
So,
I'll put it to you that way.
Yeah.
And who he is.
And then far as who's dominated in coaching in the NBA over the last 20 years, it's probably Phil Jackson and Greg Pop and Popovich.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, my last question for you, Coach, is do you have any advice for aspiring coaches?
Find a mentor. Find somebody that will take you underneath their wings and kind of show you the ropes and help teach you the, I don't think the X's and O's part is the difficult part. I think it's the relationship parts and the working with admin parts and the paperwork parts. If you're aspiring to be a head coach, if you're just aspiring to be an assistant coach, then just study the game as much as possible and find a good program and a good fit for you to learn and grow as a coach. That's a really good question. Tough to answer sometimes, but that's
it. Yeah, I got you. Well, I think that it's a tough answer or a tough question because there's just so many things that we all need to know, right? And even if you are currently a head coach, there's still so much that you have left to figure out. So I feel like anytime someone asks me that question, at least my answer always changes, or it's the same answer, but there's more added to it. So it's just a very convoluted, like you said, but no, I think you're absolutely right with everything that you said. Definitely it's about relationships and figure out more than just the X's and O's and the administration and the administrative stuff. You're absolutely right on that, Coach. I appreciate you so much for coming on with me. You did a great job answering questions. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of people that are going to get some good little nuggets from this episode. It's definitely shorter than other episodes that I've had, but just like you said, less is more.
Okay. Thanks, Coach.